Well, good morning to all. It's good to see every one of you this out. And as I looked up from the reading a while ago, I saw one of my very favorite girls in the whole world, Sonora, is here. And it's always great to see her and her keepers, Sarah and Charlie. It's good to have every one of you with us this morning. It's a good day. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to see every one of us, everyone that is out. We're going to talk this morning about a subject that has always fascinated me. We're going to talk about the sons of Noah. The sons' name are Shem, Ham, and Japheth. These are the three men that every person in the world comes from. Every person in the world since the time of Noah has a descendant of either Shem, Ham, or Japheth. So this is a very important thing. This lesson this morning is an attempt to better understand the society which God had planned for humanity and for the development of the human race, and is revealed to us in Scriptures. This chapter of Genesis 9 tells us where it all comes from. It tells us the true division of mankind as God intended for mankind to be, and it told us the three men that made this possible and the unique, very distinctive things that they did, their contributions to society. And this is how God wanted things to be done. This is a very important lesson. We have a tendency, and this is not a correct tendency, but we have a tendency this today is in our modern society to categorize people in ways that God did not intend. We categorize people according to the color of their skin. We categorize people according to their origin, their country of origin. We may characterize them, we categorize them by their language, the color of their hair, the color of their eyes. But these are all very superficial distinctions, and it is certainly not the way God wanted us to look at mankind. We think of the white race, the yellow race, the black race, the brown race, the red race, and we look at people and we define them and categorize these things by these superficial ways. But God speaks of only one race, and that is the human race. And that's the way God wanted it to be. The human race is made up of three families. Three distinct families with three distinct, unique contributions. And each of these contributions comes from a family group that make up the human race. We all descend from one of these three families. Now in verse 24, and this needs to be clarified, because we have found this in our studies where the birthrights would change. According to Hebrews, the oldest is listed first for the birthright, then from there on down to the least for the last born. But here, as we have found in other places, in the children of Isaac for one, we have the oldest listed last. So we are starting now with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Japheth was the oldest. He should have been first. It should have been Shem. He's the second. And then Ham would have been the last one. But these, every time in the Bible when we read about these three men, it is always in the same order. Shem, Ham, and Japheth was completely out of order. And this is important that we notice. This morning we're going to discuss the unique contributions that each of these brothers, the three sons of Noah, made to the world for the plan that God wanted. As the world was to be created, mankind was to be developed. It's a very interesting study. Let's have our prayer at this time, please. For the text for our lesson this morning, we go to the 9th chapter of Genesis, and we will read verses 18 and 19. The Bible says that now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. Blessed be the Lord my God. This is what Noah said, Blessed by the Lord my God be Shem, and let Canaan be his slave. God and Lord's Japheth, let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his slave. These are the words that couple with the words that we just read in 18:19 that come from the 26th and the 27th verse of this chapter. We are looking at the prophetic words that were uttered by Noah as he spoke about the destiny of his descendants, his three sons, as they went into the world to create the new world order after all of humanity had been destroyed in the flood. I think as we start this lesson that the most important thing that we can start with is the exception. We talk about Shem, we talk about Ham, we talk about Japheth, but as he makes this prophetic statement here, he says about Canaan being a slave. And I think that is exactly what we need to start with so that we can understand the direction of God. There is a misconception, and many people believe in this, that all of the sons of Ham and all of his sons were cursed to be slaves. That is not scriptural. That is not what Genesis said. The slavery part was limited to the descendants of Canaan, to Canaan and his descendants. The Hebrew way of emphasizing this was a slave of slaves, and Canaan was to be that, but not the rest of the sons of Ham. Noah got drunk. Noah passed out drunk, uncovered in his tent. Now I don't know if in the old world that Noah came from, if grapes fermented like wine, like they're now doing in the new world. But we do know that after they got off the ark, Noah planted grapes. Noah grew his grapes. Noah harvested his grapes. Noah made wine, and Noah drank the wine. And because of the fermented wine that he drank, Noah was drunk, and he passed out drunk, uncovered in his tent. That's the way the Bible says it. I don't know whether Noah was charged with this. The Bible doesn't condemn him for it. And it's very possible that he didn't know what he was doing when he did it. However, Ham looked upon his father and was disrespectful to his father. Shem and Japheth, when they realized what had happened, they put blankets over their back, they backed into the tent, and they covered their father so that he would not be humiliated. When Noah woke up from being drunk, he made this statement. He gave a blessing to Shem, and he said, let Canaan be his servant. He gave a blessing to Japheth, and he who dwells in the tents of Shem, but he said, let Canaan be cursed, to be cursed as a slave to his brother Shem and to his brother Japheth and their descendants. The Bible tells us in the book of Joshua in 1 Kings that Canaan and his tribes all went and settled in the area of Palestine, all of these Arabian countries right there in the promised land. And they were all descendants of Canaan. It says that Canaan became the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Arkites, and the Sinites, and the Arvadites, and the Zamorites, and the Hamathites. They all gathered and settled. When they were dispersed, they went and settled in this part of the land. By divine inspiration, Noah made this statement about Canaan and his descendants being slaves to his brothers. I don't think Canaan was even alive at this time, because Canaan was the fourth son of Ham. But by inspiration, he gave this as a prophecy about Canaan. People familiar with the Old Testament know exactly how many times the names of these Canaanite tribes were mentioned. They know that they were inhabitants of the land of Canaan. They know that they were in charge and lived in the land of Canaan when God brought Moses and the Israelites up out of Egyptian slavery and brought them into the promised land and gave them the promised land. They understood who these people were. They understood who the Canaanites were. And they also understood the immorality, the serious, blatant immorality of these Canaanites. These people lived in very sexually perversive ways. They had babies sacrificed. They were idol worship. They were a completely immoral group of people. It's also interesting to note that it was the Canaanites that settled and lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, these cities that were destroyed from Jesus because of their wickedness and their sexual perversions. This is exactly what God brought the Israelites into when he gave them the promised land. But he told the Israelites, I want you to eliminate every one of these Canaanites. I want you to kill each and every one of them, man, woman, child. I want you to kill and destroy and totally eliminate every one of the Canaanites. He said they're dangerous. They're perverted. They are a moral blight upon society. He said the only way to preserve your society that I want is to totally and completely eliminate these people. Because if you don't, they will degrade your society and they will deteriorate your society. And Israel didn't listen. They killed a bunch of them. There was a mess of them that were destroyed, but they didn't kill near all of them, and that's exactly what happened. The deterioration and the evil things that these Canaanites were doing came into the religion and came into the lives of the Israelites, and they were influenced by these evil perversions of the Canaanites. And that's why in Joshua 9:23 it said the Canaanites became hewers of wood and carriers of water, a servant of servants to the people of Israel, just exactly like Noah had prophesied when he cursed Canaan. You know, he blessed Japheth. He blessed Shem. He didn't say anything to Ham either way. There was no blessing. There was no cursing. But he did curse the fourth son of Ham, which was Canaan. Ham was a black man. Now you look at all the pictures, you read all the stuff about this, and we know that Ham was the black son. We know that Japheth was the white son, and Shem was the brown son. There was three. So all categories of people are involved in these three men. We know that the descendants of that Ham himself was black, but the Bible scholars tell us that his kids, his descendants, were not all black. Because from Ham, his descendants, came the Chinese, which we would refer to as a yellow-skinned people. The Indians were brown, which we would refer to as a brown-skinned people. The Africans were black. We would refer to those as a black-skinned people. But scholars tell us that also in the descendants of Ham, there were some light-skinned or even white-skinned descendants. The Canaanites, as far as we can know, were not a black-skinned people, were probably a brown-skinned people. That's enough about Canaan. But we had to understand the exception to this prophecy that Noah made to his three sons before we would be able to understand the rest of the blessing that was given from Noah. Three families of humanity, three families of mankind is represented here, and these three families are the ones that built the world that God wanted, and each and every person in the world is a descendant of either Ham, Shem, or Japheth, because they are the fathers of us all. Let's start off with Shem. Shem, of course, was the second born, but in chronological order, it ought to have been Japheth, Shem, and Ham, because Ham was the baby. But since the Bible has said this, and in every time it's mentioned, Shem is mentioned first, we're going to start off with Shem. Shem had a very special contribution that he made to the world. His contribution was something that none of the other boys brought. It was a very important thing because Shem was given the responsibility of bringing a religion to the world. It was Shem that was to bring religion to the world. This was his contribution. The Shem and his descendants settled, populated the Arabian areas. This included the land of Israel. And the Semitic people, or the descendants of Shem, were responsible under the direction of God to meet the spiritual needs of mankind. That was their role to develop humanity. The three primary religions of the earth and all came from this area. We had the Jews. We had the Arabians. We had the Jews, and we had Mohammedism, and we had Christianity. And all three of these religions were created and started in this same little land. They all came from the same area. I know there's a lot of distortions of the truth between Judaism, Mohammedism, and Christianity, but all three of these religions came from this area, and they all came from the descendants of this man, Shem. He was the one that brought religion to the world. The family included the Jews, the Arabs, and many of the ancient people, the descendants of Shem, and they are still alive and well in our world today. Now remember, Abraham was the father of the Jews. And this was done through his wife. and the son Isaac that was born. This was the father of the Jews. But Abraham was also the father of the Mohammedism, or the Arab nation, because this was through his wife's handmaiden, a woman by the name of Hagar, an Egyptian. And his first son was named Ishmael. Ishmael became the father of the Arabians. So, through Father Abraham, we have the Jews and we have the Arabians. And from all of this, we got the Jewish religion, the Mohammed religion, and the religion of Christianity. The primary purpose for Shem was to bring religion to the world. That's the contribution that this son of Noah made in the development of the world. Now, how about Ham? Ham made some wonderful, and his descendants had some tremendous impact upon our world. Now, we've already talked about Canaan. That was a negative. But the rest of his sons, it was not negative. The descendants of Ham included the Egyptians. It included some Sumerians, that two nations that founded some of the great empires of antiquity. There were nations that came from Ham, such as the Phoenicians, the Hittites, the Canaanites we've spoken about. The modern African tribes came from Ham. They were his descendants. The Mongol tribes were descendants of Ham. They all looked to Father Ham as their leader, as their family. The Chinese nation, the Chinese people, descendants of Ham, Father Ham. The American Indians owe their descendancy to the brother Ham. South Sea Islanders came from Ham. Ham had a grandson. His name was Nimrod, who was probably one of the greatest builders and one of the greatest creators that's ever been known. The Bible tells us that he established and created the big city of Babylon, which was a creation wonder back in the days of Babylon. He also created many other cities in this area. Nimrod was the one that had the Tower of Babel built, which caused all the problems. Everybody spoke one language until he built Babel. And then God confused the languages, and all these Hamites, all of these descendants of Ham, moved out, and they dispersed, and the descendants of Ham dispersed all over the world. Ham is given the role of servant, and his descendants were given the role of a servant. Now, we talked about the descendants of Canaan and his descendants. They were slaves, because that was the curse that Noah put on them. But the other descendants of Ham were not slaves. They were servants to the people. And this was a relationship, not of enslavement, but they were servants because they were the technicians of humanity. They were I would refer to the descendants of Ham, other than Canaan, as being the blue-collar workers of the day. They were the ones that dispersed all over the world. Shem's people didn't disperse like that. They went down south and they stopped. Japheth's people, they went up north and they stopped. But Ham's people went all over the world. They founded and carried technology to a very high level. This was the role that was given to Ham as a descendant and to his descendants by God. The Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Mayans, the Aztecs, all of these were people that had Ham in their descendancy. They were the children of Ham, and they were the greatest inventors of mankind. They were creating. They were builders. They brought technology. They brought cultivation. They brought the basic food staples that we know of today. They developed structure. They developed the tools and the way the buildings were built. We see this in the pyramids. We see this in the things in Babylon. They brought and developed fabrics. They invented medicines. They had surgical instruments and surgical practices. They were the inventors of mathematics. They invented and perfected the machinery of commerce. They developed paper. They invented ink. They were the leaders of communication. If one will trace back far enough through history, they will find that Ham and his descendants were the most creative. They were the most widespread. They devised the basic devices and the systems that man needed for their sustenance, for their convenience, for their comfort. And most of these things were created by Ham and his descendants as servants to the people that made life easier and simple and more convenient. Truly,
Ham's descendants were the servants of mankind in a most amazing way, because their contribution was to help mankind and to perfect mankind and to make it work for mankind. This was the reason that Ham was sent out into the world, and this was a plan that God had for him, that he and his descendants would help the world. Their contribution to the world would be to make things better for the world. And Ham and his descendants were the ones that did this. How about old Japheth? Japheth was the oldest one, but he's the least mentioned. He's the last meeting. And Noah had promised to Japheth enlargement. The sons of Japheth migrated to the north, and they settled in the European and the Slavic countries. He was the father of the white race of people. The Japhetic people, in general, were peoples of India, because India comes from, they show their, in their history, they come from Japheth. The Indo-European stock, all of these people came from Japheth. Japheth was the father of the Gentile nation. Much of the western hemisphere of our globe is settled by Japhetic people. The Indians, the Hindus are of the same stock. But the enlargement that Noah and the blessing that Noah gave to Japheth was not so much that he would be from the Gentiles, although this was very important, but it was also larger than this. Japheth's contribution to the world was an intellectual contribution. Historically, all of the great philosophers and the intellects came from the stock of Japheth. We look at the Greeks. The Greeks were descendants of Japheth. And they were, back in the old times, back in Bible times, they always were considered as the leaders in intellect and in philosophy and in the museums and in their thinking processes. They were the philosophical leaders of the world. Those are descendants of Japheth. The Hindus also enjoyed this. The Greeks and the Hindus are truly a couple of the great philosophic races on earth. A man by the name of Arthur Constance took this phrase. He said, "Let them," speaking of Japheth and his descendants, "let Japheth and his descendants dwell in the tents of Shem." That's exactly what Noah said when he blessed him. But he goes on to say, as predictive of the cross, when spiritual guidance of humanity passed from the Jews to the Gentiles, i.e. to the Japhetic family. He was the head of the Gentile family. He was a descendant from which the Gentiles all over the world came from. And when Shem, who brought religion to the world, which was the Jewish religion, when God brought Christ to the world and Christ allowed the Gentiles in, it was no longer Shem that was a religious leader, but it was passed on to Japheth. And this has been true since the Jews were dispersed around the world. As Americans, we like to think that we're quite inventive and we can do about anything we want to, and we can build about anything we want to, but what we've done is taken the basic conventions that the Hamites have built, and we have developed the philosophy and the science and applied technology. These things all started with Ham. His people were the one that was given this. This was their responsibility. This was their contribution to the world. The Japhethites, they were to have the, they were to use the philosophies and to increase the education and the philosophies. Shem, his responsibility was to bring religion to the world. This was according to God. This was according to the teachings of Noah. And this is the way it worked out. This is the way God wanted it. Let's go on now and look at the spiritual contributions of these three brothers, because each and every one of these brothers brought spiritual contributions to us and to the world. In the book of Matthew, and if I read right at the front of my, when it discusses Matthew and explains what it's about, he said this is a gospel written by a Jew to Jews about a Jew. Matthew, Bible scholars tell us, when he wrote his gospel, he was writing to the descendants of Shem. He was writing to the Jews. There was a man in the line of Shem, 3, 4, 5, 6 down. His name was Eber. Eber is where the word Hebrew was derived from. So, when Matthew wrote his gospel, he wrote to the Jews. A Jew writing about a Jew to the Jews. It's a gospel for the Jews. Mark, in his writing, wrote to the descendants of Ham. Mark portrays Jesus as a servant. as one that was to serve and one that was not to be served. Mark wrote to the servants of Ham and his descendants. He wrote to the practical mind. He wrote to the creative mind. He wrote to the building mind. He wrote to Ham and to his descendants. I would refer to them again. They were the blue-collar workers of the world. They're the ones that did things. They were the ones that made things. They created things. These are the people that made things work. Luke was a doctor. They say that Luke wrote as the old family doctor as he sits down and writes, and he wrote to the descendants of Japheth. He wrote to this group of people. Clearly aimed at the Japhetic mind. Now listen to the order here. Matthew was first. He wrote to the Jews. Mark was second. He wrote to the descendants of Ham. And then Luke was third, and he wrote to the descendants of Japheth. You've got Shem, you've got Ham, and you've got Japheth. That's the way it is listed. Every time when you're talking about these boys, when they're listed in the Bible. Let's look at the coming of Jesus. We had shepherds, we had wise men, and we finally had the Gentiles. The shepherds were Israelites, they tell us. This is from the family of Shem. The Bible scholars feel that the wise men from the east were Magi, that they were really from Arabia, and they represented the descendants of Ham. The Greeks, as they came into the gospel, they were clearly from Japheth, which was the father of the Gentiles. Once again, look at the order. You've got Shem, you've got Ham, and you've got Japheth. Let's look at how the gospel was spread to the people. You can go to the second book of Acts, and Peter stood up before this group on the day of Pentecost, and he began his sermon by saying, "Ye men of Israel." Who was Peter talking to? He was talking to the descendants of Shem. He was talking to the Jews. Just a few chapters down, in the eighth chapter, we've got another man by the name of Philip. Philip was in Samaria. And Philip was spoken to by God, and he said, "I want you to go down into the desert, and I want you to meet one man, and I want you to convert this one man, and I want you to go right now." So Philip left. He went down, and he found an Ethiopian eunuch that was traveling in a wagon. This was a very important man in the nation of Ethiopia. He was traveling back home, and when Philip came up to him, he was reading Isaiah. He said, "What are you reading? Can you understand it?" He said, "I've got to have someone teach." Philip began to teach this man from Ethiopia about the gospel. He believed, he confessed, he was baptized. The Bible says he went on his way rejoicing. Now the footnote to this is if you will continue to follow this Ethiopian eunuch, you will find that he took this gospel back to Ethiopia, and Ethiopia became a hotbed of Christianity because of this one man. Come down a few more chapters in the book of Acts, and you find Peter as he's having this vision of this meat that comes down, and he said, "I'm not going to eat it, it's not unclean." Well, at the same time, in the city of Joppa, there was another man, a Roman, a Gentile, a descendant of Japheth. He also was having these visions. And so the Spirit got together and told Peter, "You need to go to Joppa, and you need to see Cornelius, and you need to explain to Cornelius about the gospel." And in Acts 10 and 23, we're told that Peter went to Joppa, and he met with Cornelius, this Roman centurion, and he began to teach to him Jesus, and he believed, and he confessed, and he and his family were baptized. I want you to look at the order of this again. Look at the order and see if we're not on to something that seems to be the way God wanted it to be. Peter stood up and spoke to the children of Israel. He's speaking to the children of Shem. Philip went down to speak with an Ethiopian man, and he converted him. The Ethiopian man was a descendant of Ham. And now Peter has been sent to Joppa to speak to Cornelius, a Roman citizen, a Gentile, and he's a descendant of Japheth. You've got the exact same order again. Starts with the Shem, it ends second, goes to Ham, and then Japheth was the last one. All three groups of humanity were represented. Let me give you one more. Let's talk about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Every branch of humanity was represented at the crucifixion of Christ. The moral responsible of the crucifixion fell upon the Jews. These were the descendants of Shem. It was the Jews that said, "Let his blood be on us and upon our children." Ham was next to be represented in the crucifixion of Jesus because Jesus couldn't carry the cross. They beat him so badly. And so a man by the name of Simon of Cyrene, a stranger in Jerusalem, took the cross of Jesus and carried it to Calvary where Jesus was crucified. The responsibility of the crucifixion, though, was not given. It could not happen until the Roman generals that were in charge of Jerusalem gave the order that Jesus be crucified. There's your three divisions of mankind one more time. You've got the Jews that said, crucify him. You've got this Cyrene, this Simon the Cyrene, who is a descendant of Ham, that carried the cross for Jesus. And now you've got this Roman leader, who was a descendant of Jephthah, that said, kill them. All three divisions of humanity, all three divisions of mankind, all three divisions that humanity is at, then that is in each and every one of us. And what this is all telling us is that in God's plan for the development of humanity and mankind is, I want you to be spiritual, I want you to be physical, and I want you to be intellectual. Shem, Ham, Jephthah. We're supposed to be spiritual. That is number one. But if we are all spiritual and we're not intellectual and we're not physical, we're not complete. It is good that we be physically in a physical well-being. But if we spend all our time beating our physical body up, then we have neglected spirituality and we have ignored the intellectual. It takes all three parts for a human being to be right and to be good and to be complete. Spiritual, physical, intellectual. That is the order that God has given since he began to develop mankind after the flood, when there were just eight people alive in this entire world. First spiritual, second physical, then intellectual. You got to have spiritual, but then you got to be able to take care of the physical too. There's things that we have to do as humans to provide for ourselves and for our families. And then the intellectual is that we have to know what we're doing and why. In this order, mankind can find the complete fulfillment that God wanted him to have. And the glory of the gospel is demonstrated when we follow the plan that God made. When we open our lives to Christ, through Jesus Christ, our first priority, this is our spiritual. When we believe and repent and confess and be baptized, we're concerned about our spirituality. We put that first. That's what Shem brought to the earth. When we develop our physical life, taking care of our physical needs, our physical demands, working together, taking care of our children, and using the ideas and the creations which the people of Ham brought, then we're taking care of our physical needs. Thank you, Ham. When we develop the intellect to know who we are and what we are and why we're doing the things we do, this is the intellect that we're developing. Thank you, Jephthah. Three divisions of mankind. Three divisions in man, and these are all in each and every one of us. This gives us the responsibility, the ability to meet the responsibility of each and making and completing each of these basic needs of man. Spiritual, physical, intellectual, thanks to Shem, Ham, and Jephthah. Because God put each one of these men in position and gave them the responsibility to bring this to the world. I think it's fascinating when we think about what happened after the world was totally destroyed by water. And then Noah woke up. He blessed his sons. He cursed the grandson of one of his sons. But each one of these men was sent into the world with a specific purpose. And they did what God wanted them to do. And they developed mankind as God wanted them so that a man could be complete in the things that he does. Nothing further to say. Let's have a song of invitation. We can help anyone. We ask you to come forward as we sing.